Hello and welcome to a very special edition of our podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
This week, Roy and I want to pay tribute to both of our countries. Roy lives in the United States and I live here in Canada. And every year at the beginning of July, both of our countries throw huge parties. On July 1st, Canada celebrates Canada Day as it celebrates the anniversary of July 1st, 1867, the effective date of the Constitution Act of 1867, which united three separate colonies of the province of Canada, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick into a single dominion within the British Empire called Canada. Originally called Dominion Day, the holiday was renamed in 1982, the year the Canada Act was passed. So lots going on at the beginning of July, but Canada Day celebrates all kinds of wonderful things in various locations around the world attended by Canadians living abroad. Canada is a peaceful, multicultural nation. Although we have our differences, for the most part, Canada remains as one of the most peaceful nations in the world. We celebrate a great nation that comes together to celebrate our history and our future. I couldn't be prouder to be part of a well-respected country and very happy to call Canada home. So to all the fellow Canadians out there, both here in Canada and abroad, happy Canada Day. Eh?
So Nick, you have facts about Canada for Canada Day, mm-hmm. and I've compiled facts about the 4th of July for the 4th of July for the United States version, right. So that we can both share in this amazing holiday.
The name Canada derives from the Iroquoian word for village, Kanata. And Cartier, one of the explorers, misheard that, and he thought they said Canada. Canada has the longest coastline of any country in the world. In fact, if you were to walk around the country without sleeping or eating or resting, it would take you roughly 4.5 years to walk the whole coastline. Could you imagine? And you don't
who,
stop.
Who called it Kanata? Was it the indigenous Iroquois people?
That's right. They were, and they were referring to an area near present-day Quebec City. For an American, you know a little bit about Canadian facts, just a little bit. Well, a lot of it has to do with the fact that we're on, every week we're on Canada Talks with Jeff Sambit, so on Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 167. June 20th, 1868, the Governor General issued a royal proclamation asking, that's what makes it official. It's not just a proclamation, it's a royal proclamation for Canadians to celebrate the anniversary of the Confederation. This holiday was given a statutory value in 1879 and was designated, as we said, Dominion Day. Canada was known officially as Dominion Day until October 27, 1982, where a bunch of politicians sat around, and it was a Friday afternoon. They said, you know what, let's just call it Canada Day, and then he took the rest of the day off. And they said, okay, we're declaring this a holiday, and there you go.
The Declaration of Independence was not signed on July 4th. In fact, it wasn't signed in July at all. Oh. The document was actually finalized and ratified on July 2nd. So it was actually written and it was originally signed before. On July 2nd, John Adams thought that that should be the day of celebration. Early copies were signed by John Hancock and Charles Thompson, but the copy that we know of wasn't signed. The copy that we put out and show everybody was not signed until August 2nd. So technically, John Adams wanted the July 4th celebration to be July 2nd, the day it was ratified, but it was not actually signed until August 2nd. One other cool fact, it wasn't until 1777, okay, that fireworks were introduced into the 4th of July celebration. But it's been a major part since then. But think about that. 1777 was when the first fireworks were used, and it's been a part of it every year ever since, which wow, is really cool. Amazing.
It is. And do you know where the Declaration of Independence was signed? At the bottom.
In Kanata. In Kanata.
It was signed at the bottom of the page. You thought I was asking a serious question. Canada was known. So you guys have PBS, right? The Public Broadcasting System, which is like a nationwide
We have no diseases down here. Oh, PBS. I'm sorry.
The cross-country television transmission by the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation began on Canada Day in 1958, while color television was first introduced in Canada 9 years later on Canada Day in 1967.
You know, in New England, in the United States, during the July 4th celebration, this sounds a little fishy to me, but in New England, they eat salmon as a tradition for the July 4th.
Is that why that's why you call it fishy?
But it kind of makes sense because salmon runs in the summer. John and Abigail Adams had salmon and peas, which is the way they like to eat it, salmon and peas. Mm-hmm. And then there was a second thing that went along for the July 4th celebration back then. And till this day, they eat salmon in New England. But the second portion they don't do anymore, which was turtle soup, was part of the celebration. So you learn something new on this show. I'll tell you the truth. Turtle soup. So it's pretty cool.
And they ate it nice and slow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Some famous people born on Canada Day, July the 1st, a Canadian, Pamela Anderson from Baywatch.
Ooh.
Also born on Canada Day, Dan Aykroyd. Cool. Another famous person, not necessarily Canadian, that was born on July 1st, the late Lady Diana, the Princess of Wales.
Oh. Well, come on. You guys have a lot of tradition that go back to the English.
That's right, but she wasn't Canadian. Jamie Farr, the great actor, Jamie Farr from MASH, born on July 1st. The great singer, Debbie Harry.
Is she Canadian?
No, she was born on July 1st. Only the first two that I mentioned, Pamela Anderson and Dan Aykroyd, are Canadians. Olivia de Havilland, also Estee Lauder, the skincare, perfume, and makeup giant, Estee Lauder. Carl Lewis and Liv Tyler, all born on July 1st, the day we celebrate Canada Day in Canada.
Wow. Cool. Massachusetts was the first state to fully recognize the 4th of July in 1781, but it wasn't until June 25th, 1870, that the U.S. government recognized the legal holiday. So people were celebrating it before, but in 1781, Massachusetts celebrated it as a state. And then it wasn't until 1870 that the U.S. government recognized it as a legal holiday as part of a group, which I thought was real interesting. On June 28th, 1870, the United States put into effect the recognizing of four holidays: New Year's Eve, Independence Day, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. In that order, no less.
Canada Day kicks off what Canadians call 2 months before winter starts.
What?
We drink a lot of beer up here in Canada. On Canada Day, a cold one goes together like Bob and Doug McKenzie. Remember Bob and Doug McKenzie? In British Columbia, on the West Coast, residents guzzle 1.2 million liters of beer over the country's birthday long weekend. 1.2 million liters of beer over the country's birthday long weekend. And that's just from government-run liquor stores.
Is it all Molson?
Molson Canadian and Labatt's and all kinds of fine. We have a lot of craft beer up here in Canada. Some fine beers. Sure. If you're a fan of beer, Canada is one of the best places to get all kinds. So come on up when it's safe to bring some beer.
Well, that's cool. Canadians love their beer, but Americans love their dogs. No, not the pets. Hot dogs. And on 4th of July, hot dogs are king. In fact, Americans consume, get ready, 150 million hot dogs on July 4th.
Oh.
150 million hot dogs. Now, if you figure that with the Canadians using the bathroom, drinking all that beer.
What a great way to wash down 150 million hot dogs. Is that how much?
Yes, with a good cold Molson's.
Yeah. Are you kidding? Wow. You're listening to a very special podcast between Roy and I. We normally do the Totally Useless Information podcast, but we are celebrating our two countries, Canada Day and the 4th of July Jubilee Special. I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy, and even though we're having some fun with this, it is serious, and we're trying to bring you some really cool facts about the holidays.
As the rest of Canada celebrates with fireworks and all kinds of wonderful celebrations and beer and everything else, Quebec, the province of Quebec, opts for a mass exodus of apartments. In keeping with a decades-old tradition, most leases in Quebec expire on July the 1st.
Really?
So it's just one of those things because they figure it's the middle of summer, the kids are out of school, it's the best time to move. So the leases expire on July 1st. And in 2012, in the latest stats that we have, 80,000 Quebecers took part in this exodus and an unknown number of beer fridges. But here's the thing. You think, wow, the moving companies must have done really well. Well, here's how it works. Yeah, moving companies did really well. But a lot of times it's calling up a couple of your buddies, right? And offering them a 2-4. That's what we call a case of beer, a 2-4, because guess how many bottles are in a 2-4 of beer? 24.
Right, 2-4, yeah.
So we would invite a couple of friends and give them a couple of 2-4s, and they would help you move.
So no, it's wonder not just you guys drink so much beer. You're moving all the time. Speaking of beer, thank you for the segue. Americans will spend on the 4th of July. Take a guess how much they'll spend on beer.
Well, if they're washing them down with hot dogs, I would say easily $500 million.
They spend $1 billion. Americans will spend this 4th of July $1 billion on beer. Okay, so you think Canadians drink a lot of beer? This should be illegal. And now you said 500 million. We will spend 560 million on wine.
Oh, maybe that's what I got mixed up. Maybe that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, but no wonder we're eating all this crap food like hot dogs. They're so drunk, they don't know what the hell they're eating. They could be eating their own hand for all they know.
You're thinking they're eating some fancy Vienna sausages.
How much do you think they spend on food, Americans, for 4th of July?
Well, I'm just going to throw out $1 billion.
Okay. $6.7 billion on food. Now, somebody is really eating a lot of hot dogs.
Wow. Now, let's go back to the hot dogs for a second. If I remember correctly, Nathan's on Coney Island. Do they still have the hot dog eating contest?
Oh, sure. They have to eat the bun with them, too. They dip them in water. It's so disgusting.
It is. After watching clips, like, because they show that up here in Canada. And when I watch the news clips of that, I don't want to eat hot dogs for like 3 months.
And I love hot dogs with onions and sauerkraut. And, oh, my God. I could eat 10 of them myself, so.
So this is how funny Canadians are. During an interview, a writer by the name of Margaret Atwood, what a great novelist, recounts this gem. What does a Canadian girl say when you ask her if she would like some sex? She says, only if you're having some yourself.
I thought she says sorry.
Canada has North America's strongest current, not electricity. A fascinating fact about Canada is that if you're up for a swim of your life, be sure to wear a life jacket. Check out the Seymour Narrows in British Columbia. The stretch of the Discovery Passage has some of the strongest tidal currents, measured with flood speeds of 17 kilometers an hour. That's pretty fast. I also want to add these Canadian attractions to your bucket list, and maybe that's the last thing you'll ever do, but it's pretty wild, strong currents there.
Crazy. Get this one. Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, two presidents, if you're in Canada, were great friends. And years later, they were the worst of enemies. They had not spoke to each other in many, many years. They literally hated each other. They wouldn't speak each other's names. They both died on July 4th, 1826, within hours of each other. Wow. So these guys were both presidents. They were great friends for many years, and then they hated each other because of politics, and they both died on the same day within hours of each other, as did another president, James Monroe, in 1831. He croaks on July 4th, too. Who the hell knows? Maybe they all choked on skinned hot dogs. But Luckily, Calvin Coolidge breaks the streak by being born on July 4th, 1872.
That's awesome. So the two best friends, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, were best friends, very much like you and I are. So if you're planning on kicking the bucket before me, you let me know, and then I'll let you know if it's the other way around.
It's like, okay. I'll do it before you. No, you won't. Yes, I will. No, you won't. This is an argument. This is simple contradiction. No, it isn't.
No, it's not. Now, I know over the years, people think that Canada, at least I think a lot of Americans have this perception, that Canada is always full of snow. Like, we always have cold weather up here, okay? There are parts of Canada that get really, really hot. Parts of Canada that get really, really cold. Now, I live in Toronto, and I'm happy to say that in Toronto, Canada, it's on the eastern side of Canada, and we have four seasons. We do have, you know, summer and spring and fall and winter.
Folks, let me just step in. They have four seasons. Yeah. Cold, colder, even colder, and coldest. No.
Here's how cold it gets in some parts of the country. The average low for the month of January in Ottawa, our nation's capital, is minus 14.4 Celsius or 6 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the average low. The average.
Oh, God.
And you're thinking, all right, that's cold, but no. A record was held in 1947 in Snag, Yukon, makes the rest of Canada's winter weather seem like a relaxing beach vacation. In Snag, Yukon, a temperature of minus 63 Celsius or minus 84 Fahrenheit.
Minus 84. I mean, you spit and it would freeze before it gets out of your mouth.
It's frozen in your mouth. It was recorded in a small village on February 3rd, 1947. That's roughly the same temperature as the surface of Mars.
The guy who recorded it would have, we would have told you his name, but he froze to death. Oh, he was a dad. They called him Popsicle. The oldest continuous July 4th celebration. It's July 4th, the July 4th parade in Bristol, Rhode Island. Get ready. It began in 1785 and it hasn't finished. No. It began in 1785 and every year until today, it goes on. It is the oldest continuously running parade that they know of. And it is July 4th in Bristol, Rhode Island.
Yeah, it takes them a long time. What's their main fare? Turtle soup. Oh, the Beatles, right? John, Paul, Ringo, and who's the other one?
And George.
Okay. The Fab Four has a small connection and almost a part of the Canadian flag. So to help design the country's official flag, the people from Parliament, the parliamentarians, asked Canadians in 1963, the year that both you and I were born, by the way, they asked the peoples of Canada to draft suggestions on the design of the official flag. 3,500 patriots responded. 400 of those thought a beaver should be the front and center of the flag because the beaver is, of course, the national animal of Canada. But one trippy submission depicted the disembodied heads of the four Beatles encircled in a fleur-de-lis.
Oh, how nice.
So imagine the Fab Four. The disembodied heads of the Fab Four almost became part of the design of the Canadian flag. No, we didn't choose that.
Do you know that there was a fifth Beatle? Fifth Beatle was actually an African-American man named Billy Preston. Billy Preston played all the keyboard pretty much on a lot of the songs. And he was thought of as being with them so much that he was the fifth Beatle. Pretty cool.
And speaking of the Beatles, what a great segue. And we will, in the near future, have a very special, totally useless information podcast about the Beatles.
Yes.
With a couple of huge Beatle fans. So if you're a fan of the Beatles, and even if you're not, you'd be amazed at some of the useless information about the Beatles.
Yeah, I don't want to excite people because we're going to have a lot of guests in season three. And in the Beatles show, we're going to have a guest, Sir Paul. Sir Paul will be on the show. Sir Paul will be on this show. Not Paul McCartney, but Sir Paul. He'll be on
right.
the show.
Right, yeah, some guy named Paul. All right, sure. You're listening to a very special podcast of the Canada Day and the 4th of July Jubilee Special. I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
We normally have the Totally Useless Information podcast, but since we're both celebrating our respective countries' celebrations at the beginning of July, we figured we'd do a special, and then next week we get right back to Totally Useless Information. But in the meantime, here's something else from Roy.
Yeah, and it's cool, too, because you can tell all your friends these things when you're standing at, like, a barbecue, sitting there talking to people. The first Independence Day, okay, the United States population was 2.5 million. Now, I thought that was pretty cool because I would have said maybe like 500,000 people, but 2.5 million, that was at the first Independence Day. This year, we'll be celebrating, it'll be celebrated by 340 million people in the United States. So, go U.S.
I don't know why this reference came to my mind. So I did used to live in the United States. So I moved when I was 5 years old in 1968. I moved to New York and moved back to Canada in 1990. But when you said the population is about 300 million, I remember there was a Burger King commercial and the jingle sang, it was something like this, 200 million people, no two are quite the same, because, you know, have it your way was the whole campaign. So I remember 200 million people, and that must have been in the mid to late 70s. Yeah. And now here you are over 300, almost 350 million.
Well, there was no wall back then.
The Great Canadian Bathtub Race. Nanaimo harbors a lot of great things happening on the west coast of in British Columbia. Nanaimo is one of the harbors out there. It was the scene of the bathtub racing extravaganza for the first bathtub race of 1967, the year of Canada's 100th birthday, right? Because we came together in 1867. So in 1967, they started this great race. More than 200 tubbers. They were a tubber. They were. They had every type of watercraft imaginable. They entered in the fun competition. And amazingly, 47 completed the 36-mile course to Vancouver's Fisherman's Cove across the Strait of Georgia in British Columbia. In the early days, it was indeed a challenge to get past the starting line because of the choppy confusion caused by the extra 785 small and large observation boats in the harbor. So there were more boats in the harbor to watch this race, and it caused all kinds of waves and wakes and everything else. So from the confusion of the first race in 1967, the Great International World Championship Bathtub Race and four-day marine festival, by the way, was evolved. So where once a select band of tubbers, as they're known, were the highlight, now share the spotlight with many other land and water events, which are interesting and often spectacular to watch. But sadly, this year, because of the pandemic, all of those events have been canceled. But check it out for next year on Canada Day, the Great International World Championship Bathtub Race.
Yeah, in fact, they have the master of ceremonies stands up and says, "Gentlemen, run your baths. Let's have a clean race."
That's right.
You all know in Canada the Liberty Bell. You've heard of it. Nick, you were educated down here, so you know the Liberty. I don't know if all Canadians know the Liberty Bell, but the Liberty Bell rang every 4th of July until 1846. In 1846, they said, hey, this thing is cracking even more and more. So to avoid cracking it any further, they stopped ringing the Liberty Bell in 1846. But because it was such a sentimental thing for Americans to ring the Liberty Bell on July 4th, we now tap it 13 times as a symbolic gesture. On July 4th, the Liberty Bell will get tapped 13 times.
And what's the significance of the number 13?
The significance of the number 13, it was a very unlucky number for the Knights Templar. No, the 13 colonies. But if they tuned into our show, they'd know that Friday the 13th.
Right. And the show he's referring to is the Totally Useless Information podcast, a available on all of your podcast platforms and on the YouTube channel, the Nick and Roy channel on YouTube and on IGTV. And if you ask your smart speaker to play the Totally Useless Information podcast.
It's cool. So cool. You go, okay, Google, play the Totally Useless Information podcast, and it'll play you the episodes. It's fantastic. And Alexa will do it. Any of the smart speakers.
Yeah, you know what cool. You just did? By just saying that, now you confused it because they're listening to this episode, and now it's trying to start another episode.
Oh, no.
Okay, Google.
Stop.
Okay, Google. Play the latest Totally Useless Information podcast. We're going to screw everybody up. Canada puts more effort into higher education than any other country in the world.
Is that because marijuana is legal?
No, that's not what we mean by higher education. Our light racy rate. I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Our literacy rate is 99%. Sorry, there's a typo.
Yeah, you typed it.
That's right. And I typed and went, oh, I spelled that wrong. Did you know that the word misspelled is the most misspelled word in the English language?
What? No, really? No,
totally useless information. Misspelled is the most misspelled word in the English language. Go try it out.
Yeah. I don't spell well. I had a Bronx education.
So. You were the reason why they invented spell check. They should call it Roy check. Roy spell check.
Mine says Pell check. Oh, wow. Norway and Denmark, China, Ireland, France, and Austria. Norway, Denmark, China, Ireland, France, and Austria. Celebrate the 4th of July because they love America so much. No. They celebrate those French, you know the French, Nick.
Love the French.
Oh, okay. They don't celebrate it because they love the United States. No. They do it because it attracts American tourists. American tourists who are abroad will go to these countries to celebrate the 4th of July because, of course, we love the 4th of July so much that we go there and actually celebrate it. So thank you to the French for doing that for us.
That's right. Now, if some Americans do come over to Canada and you're invited into somebody's house, Canadians, will ask you to do something because they do this more than anybody else in the world. Canadians are more likely to remove their shoes when going into someone's house.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking something else too. On 4th of July, I wonder in France, do they drink as much beer? And they probably go, wee wee. Wee wee.
Wow, he went there.
I did go there.
Canada has two official languages. It's two official languages, and it appears in our constitution, English and French. So if you've ever come to Canada, and I know, Roy, you have, and if you buy anything in any store, everything is written and printed in English and in French. There are two official languages, and it's written right in the Constitution, and I would imagine that the Constitution is written in English and in French. The
two except official languages. Except for French bread, which is just called bread.
That's right.
It's bilingual.
Or just fries. Instead of French fries, just fries.
Fries.
I'll have bread and a side of fries.
Oh, yes.
Speaking of languages, you know, we're often mocked. Canadians are usually mocked because...
No.
Yeah.
No.
Especially by you, Americans. You're Yankees. You make fun of us because we like to use the word, the interjection A. After almost every sentence, okay? All right. So the famous Canadian interjection A is listed in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary as a valid word. Canada uses the word to maintain or regain a listener's interest. You got me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, fine.
What I said was that the word is used to maintain or regain the listener's interest. I love how they say to maintain or regain because they realize that you've lost them at some point, right? They realize that. To regain a listener's interest or to establish, I'm talking about the famous Canadian interjection A. It's listed in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary as a valid word. So it establishes that what is being said is understood. So just like you Americans say, you know, right? So we'd say, I'm talking about this interjection being in the Canadian Oxford Dictionary, Okay. If you look it up in the dictionary. Now, Roy, the first time I told you this, I remember, so this is what Roy did, okay? I'm going to share this with the audience. So he said to me, the reason why Canadians say A is because we remember how to spell the name of our country. C-A-N-A-D-A.
Yeah. That's how I remember it.
Finally, before we go in this very special podcast, and we thank you very much for joining us, and if you're listening to us in Canada and, of course, in the United States, all over North America, we celebrated the beginning of July, but we also, if you're listening to us abroad from anywhere around the world, we hope that we've entertained you and gave you some information about our countries. But Canada has not one, but two national anthems. God Save the Queen, which is more of a military type anthem, and, of course, the most famous where you hear at all sporting events, and the Olympics, because we win a lot of gold medals, O Canada. Two official anthems, God Save the Queen and O Canada.
We have one in the United States because we made up our minds. But we'll wait for you guys, not mocking you or anything. Well, look, we have a great time on the Totally Useless Information Podcast. We have a lot of fun, and we enjoy doing it so much, too, because we do enjoy joking around with each other. But on a serious note, what does the 4th of July mean to me? Well, it's a day to be proud of American exceptionalism. Most Americans are proud to be Americans every day. But the 4th represents what makes Americans who they are. It's the day that we said to the most powerful country in the world, no, we won't be subject to your tyrannical rule. We are a free people, and together we are strong, strong enough and tough enough to tell the great, powerful King of England, screw off. Together, there is no obstacle too big, no nation too powerful, no task too large. Americans are cocky, because we have earned the title to be worn as a badge of exceptionalism that we have exhibited throughout the last more than 200 years. We must never forget we are Americans, one nation, one people made of so many people, white and black, Hispanic and Asian, women, men of every religion. We are one. Now today more than ever, we must remember there is no race or gender or religion that can replace our true heritage. We are Americans. We are strong and we are one, especially on July 4th. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us on this very special Canada Day, 4th of July Jubilee. And a very special edition of what we normally do, the Totally Useless Information Podcast. We hope we informed you. We hope we entertained you. In the meantime,
tell a friend about the trend and definitely subscribe on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button and tell a friend and share it. So we'll see you next week.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Thanks for listening. Happy Canada Day, eh?
Happy 4th.